Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you can't get enough of the Mixing Music Podcast and want three times the amount of episodes every week, subscribe to our exclusive content for only $4 a month or $40 a year at mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.
One, two, three.
Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, hold on, let me pull up one of your nicknames here.
I think you had one earlier.
I had one earlier. What did we say? Gearless Lou?
I think that was one.
We're going to go with Gearless Lou this week.
All right, Gearless Lou. Yeah. Yeah.
With Gearless Lou. Welcome to the Mixing Music Podcast. This is a very interesting episode because both Lou and I, part of us, okay, there's in the engineering world, there is a group of people that are more on the elitist end of stuff that say analog or die. And then there's a lot of people, and then like the theory behind phase and how everything has to be perfect. And I think there's a lot of truth to this. I don't think that as a community or as a art form, right? Engineering, music creation, production. I don't think we should lower the bar, and I think we should appreciate these old cats that are taking this way too seriously. But at the same time, there's a lot of new technology that's really cool, and there's a lot of this information that is so advanced, it's just not practical.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of really cool practical information as well. And I'm not trying to lower the bar. We're not trying to lower the bar here and say everything is easy and simple. It's not. It's really complicated, and you can go as deep as you want to look into it.
I think we just want to shed light on something that may have been overlooked.
Yes, and I went on a little bit of a tangent here, but there was something that I was pretty skeptical about due to some theory around acoustics and how things work. Sound design, like acoustic design of a room, blah, 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 blah. And I learned my lesson because I was so impressed with how well it worked in my room and on my speakers that I convinced Lou to get it the same exact day or the day after I showed
myself it. Once I heard it.
Yeah, yeah. Like
I was like, damn,
was,
I need to buy that.
It was self-convincing. It was self-evident how
the
good the software was.
The product sold itself.
And we're going to talk about it this episode because I now realize how much this can help you. I mean, it's not the fix-all solution here.
No, don't use this as a crutch to not try to treat your room or anything, but I think we can lead in with that.
It's use your headphones. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what it's about.
Yeah, just forget the room. Just headphones the whole way. And you know what? Use the worst ones you can find.
Oh my gosh. It's not that.
You can get it to sound good on those. They're like NS10s for headphones, right?
Okay, people are waiting. So I'm gonna say what we're talking about here. Well, you already read the title. I'm probably going to talk about it in the title. Is how impressive SonarWorks is.
Yeah, that Sound ID reference is nice.
It is very impressive.
Like, DK and I already have some pretty good rooms, but
I think that's, like, pretty light. Like, we have really good rooms.
Okay, yeah. Okay, look, we have some nice
rooms.
They're
not perfect, but they're nice rooms.
But I know if I say we have a really nice room, somebody out there is going to be like, my room's better.
Yeah, yeah. No, and that's true. I mean, like, it's one of those things that can get infinitely deep.
Yeah.
And nobody has the perfect room. And if you get such a room where it's now an anechoic chamber, it's not good.
And I know both of us have friends that would look at our room and be like, well, that's technically a bedroom.
Yeah, of course.
But
we're talking relative nice to most people. We're on the upper end of rooms.
Yeah.
And
I mean, do you see this nice diffuser?
Yeah, there's a diffuser right behind us. This is the back wall of the studio here.
I need to repaint that wall.
And what are you gonna paint it to? Purple?
No, look at it.
Well,
it looks like a torn up sock.
Okay. I think it's a nice shade of gray.
No, the gray is fine. Just to your right, you know.
Oh, but that's not shown in the. Oh, I just. It's not shown in the camera. Yeah, it is a little torn here. But that being said,
dirty sock.
That being said, oh, I said it's not shown on the camera. That's because hopefully this episode, I'm going to get around to editing it, and it'll be on YouTube, where I have the least amount of subscribers, and the podcast is doing the worst as far as all the platforms.
I think I have less subscribers on my YouTube.
So I think I'm going to say, yo, if you listen to the podcast and you like what we do, and you want to watch live streams, but you don't want to subscribe on Twitch for whatever reason, you can... I stream all of our live streams on Twitch and Facebook and YouTube. So
I mean, if you can watch
all the past live stream as well.
Yeah,
all the past live streams are on YouTube.
I have a really cool mug. You should see it. I'm not even kidding. Like, this is really cool.
Thanks, Loud and Audio, for the mugs.
Yes, awesome mugs.
Also, in the future, we got the. This is a separate note. We got the new Warm Audio C800G clone.
Oh yeah,
that we are yet to run tests with. People have been messaging me like crazy.
I won't say who it is, but many, 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 many people know who this client is, as she's really well known in the R&B scene. She actually is recording with it right now in our studio. And she spent 2 days in front of it. I can't wait to listen to the files.
There you go. So we're going to do some tests with it and whatnot, kind of give you a proper review or thoughts on it. But that being said... we're talking about Sonar Works here and how good it is. The first steps first, let's talk about why. Okay, so I posted on Facebook. I was looking into it. I was having issues with my room because I have some big old speakers and big. They go really and I moved into a spare bedroom for home mixing. And I was having issues with like 200 hertz and it just wasn't translating as well. I was feeling less confident about my mixes and yes, there are some issues with my room, but I have a lot of acoustic treatment. I have this funny cheap cloud and we'll just leave it at that. And then I have a bunch of GIK panels, but like the bass trap ones are like 6 inches plus 2 inches or whatever all around the walls. It's pretty well treated. But still having some translation issues where just feeling less confidence with mixes. It was got to the point where I was about to put a graphic EQ in between the converter, the interface, and the speakers to try to like boost some frequencies that I knew were lacking.
I can hear the listeners right now going,
yeah, exactly. And it got to the point where it's just like, yo, I need to do something about it. And Lou, knowing that like we weren't really taking this seriously, is like, you know, some people use Sonar Works and it works for them. And I was like,
yeah.
It got to the point where I was so desperate and I needed this to be better that I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to pay the $300 with the microphone, get Sonar Works. I did it, came in about a week ago, been mixing on it and it's been wonderful. And here's the thing. Before I bought it, I went on Facebook into this Facebook group that I have no idea why I'm a part of. And I asked a question.
Is
on
it
this
a lot
group.
Of people bickering with Yo, each other who's right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of ego swapping. And I made a post on this group and I said, yo, does Sonar Works work well? More importantly, I don't care if my speakers become flat. I have no interest in it becoming flat because that doesn't necessarily mean that my translation is going to be better, that my mixes that I do on that is going to sound better. I like the mid-range forwardness of the ATCs, for example, because it really dials in the mid-range for me. And S10s are so popular as a mixing speaker because they're so very mid-range forward that you kind of have to get the vocals right, get that mid-range right. You get really picky with your mid-range. So I don't necessarily care for flat. My question was, if you use Sonar Works, do your mixes turn out better? Do they translate more? That was the original question. So I went on Facebook trying to, as best as I can, word this into a paragraph. I had a lot of really good responses. A lot of people saying yes. And then some people that also had PMCs and ATCs that said yes. And there's one dude, I think from Europe, absolutely no. Absolutely not. It's bad. I've used the Trinov systems as well, which is like the $3,000 to $6,000 hardware system of mm-hmm. SonarWorks. It's basically the same thing, but like much higher quality. It's hardware built in. And he's like, absolutely not. It sucks. It's the worst. And here's the reasons why. It's basically just an EQ. And it can mess with your, it's whatever, all this stuff, just railing on it. And I kept asking him questions in the comment. At first, I thought I was going to get kind of defensive and be like, have you ever tried this stuff? I actually did end up asking him that. Have you ever tried it? And he says, yes, I have. Basically, he's just like ratting on, like shitting on SonarWorks and how bad it is and how it's not good. You should get your room right. And I never mentioned to him at all that my room was pretty good. I just let him rat on it, thinking that I had a really bad room. Him assuming that I had a really bad room. And I'm talking way too much, but it gets to the point where I say that, but I'm on a podcast.
Yeah,
I think it's okay to talk too much.
Is to talk. People want context.
After this guy was on Facebook, I was like, you know what? Him hating it so much just kind of convinced me. It's like, I got to try it, find out for myself. I get it. My mixes are sounding better. It's what I'm hearing is a lot more clear. It's a lot more self-evident that SonarWorks is really great. And I do agree with him, though. I think if you have to get the acoustics in your room right at first, and at least as best as you can, right? And they are a little bit gimmicky. They're not perfect. But the cool thing with SonarWorks and the sound ID reference or whatever, reference ID sound, I forgot what order those three words go in. And
sound, reference ID sound.
Yeah, I don't remember. There's a wet dry knob, so you can do the correction and leave it at 100% correction. Lou and I, because you did it as well in this room, Lou and I both found around 70 to 90% wet is the place to be, and it's quite incredible. I have a lot more confidence in the way my mixes are turning out. How my vocals are sitting, how my kick drum and snares are really sitting as well. Transients feel a lot more clear, especially in low latency mode instead of linear phase mode, which we'll talk about that later. But I was absolutely impressed, even though in theory it's not supposed to work well, and it's about decay times in the room at different frequencies, blah, 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 blah. In practical use, I felt stupid for not trying it earlier and for feeling skeptical about it before.
And the funny thing is, like, yeah, you're right. Like, there is going to be a huge factor. If you're in a room that's echoing a lot, it's not going to kill the echo. But in both our rooms, we don't really have that issue. I think we're like...
These rooms are pretty dead.
Sub quarter second, like... It's maybe at most a single slap back that we'll hear in our rooms.
Yeah, there's no slap at all. Yeah. But I mean, like, it's pretty minimal. This room is pretty dead. My bedroom is super dead.
Yeah.
And if anything, I've taken too much out. But it worked really well.
And that's actually kind of the surprise because, you know, I know that, so I use ATCs, you use PMCs. They're both, I would say, in the same class, both in price and quality. They just have two completely different sounds. Like, the ATCs are very mid-range heavy, while the PMCs,
like, really fancy NS10s.
Yeah, basically, like, they don't, if your mix sounds bad, it will clearly sound bad. If it sounds good, it will sound decent.
Yeah,
like,
there's
I like the ATCs because they make me really try hard. And then when I feel defeated, I go to the car and do the car test. I'm like, this sounds amazing.
They're really clinical because at the same time, like, ATCs also sell to a lot of hi-fi enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Because if you get it right, it's very obvious, and they sound very nice when you get it right.
They're a little bit dark, unlike the PMCs, where they have a roll-off at about, what is it, like 12, 13K?
Yeah, the PMCs are definitely brighter, which gives it a better sense of depth, front-to-back depth, because of the sense of reverb and delays and stuff that you feel. Transients in the upper end are also a lot more prominent and evident, where transients in the lower low mids is a lot more prominent in the HCs.
Yeah, PMC- but it's kind of crazy because the sonar works really, really. And by the way, guys, so you know, this is not a paid advertisement. We have no ties to sonars whatsoever.
Yeah, they better pay us now.
Yeah, sonar, if you want to help us out for this one, like, you're more than welcome to, but we are literally just doing this out of our own surprise. Like, I bought it maybe 2 days ago. I set it up in the A room here in the mix. And then yesterday I set it up in my bedroom with some headphones. And even the headphones sounded amazing. But like, the difference that I heard between DK's PMCs and the ATCs here in A was so dramatic in both sides of the spectrum. Like, the PMCs suddenly got a little more going on in the low mids. Like, that detail really came out. The phase alignment behind it actually really showed, because the kick drum sounded like it actually stood out a little more in range between the kick and bass, which was our last episode.
There's something going on with phase,
like,
I think.
It was amazing. But in the A room, I noticed that the low mid information that was a little bit heavy tightened up and came down a little bit, and it actually allowed for, I guess, what was just a little bit higher than that to really shine. But I noticed that what I did not like from it was that it boosted a lot of the top end for the ATCs because of that 12, 13K roll-off. But it allows you to do custom filters. It allows you to actually say, you know what, I don't really like what it's doing on the top end. And that's what I really like, because...
Yeah, you can customize it. So if you want
to
keep that low mid...
me, I don't think I would have liked it as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. Yeah, the less work that SonarWorks has to do, as in the less EQ to make the final product sound good, the better it's going to be. But again, like, I rolled it off. I think I leave it at like 85% wet. That's like where I really like it. And then I also have, with the custom filter thing, I have it set on one of them. I have like a plus 400 hertz plus a dB or two, a dB and a half, 400 hertz, and then like a little cut around 3K, 2 or 3K. And that makes it sound a lot more like the ATCs, kind of like personality-wise. Mm-hmm. And then there's also like the built-in preset filters too, so it makes it sound like it's coming out of a mix cube, or it makes it sound like it's coming out of an NS10. I've been using the NS10 one a lot, actually.
I'm actually kind of curious to put my NS10s with the Bryson amp and everything back in A, just to kind of compare and see if I can actually hear it.
Yeah.
I'm really curious.
Yeah, I do like... And here's the thing. As far as mixing goes, I think I like lo-fi, like, badly shaped. I do not like linear flat speakers. That's not practical. It's cool and it's dope, but as far as like practicality, no, I want non-perfect speakers that really show me in different frequencies, different show me what's wrong with it.
I think me and you talked about it a little bit earlier. We were talking about frequencies that kind of fatigue us the easiest. You were talking about more in that 9K range.
9K kills me.
Like 12, like 11, 12K range, which is kind of...
Anything above 7K can chop off anyone's head.
Yeah, but that's kind of the wild thing, because like, we're two mixing engineers. I know I moved...
And granted, we're like relatively young too.
Yeah, I just turned 30.
So it's like...
Yeah.
So it's this thing where we also physically can hear higher frequencies than most other seasoned professionals. Yeah. That doesn't mean we're better than them.
It just means that we have a little more range to be
bothered
like by.
Yeah, like we can, yeah, exactly. We have more range that can bother us.
We might be focusing on the wrong range a little too often.
Yeah, and I think that's another good discussion for another episode of the podcast is hearing...
Focusing on the
hearing,
right ranges?
Or no, is being more open about and talking about hearing damage.
Yeah, honestly, I'll say this. Like, I run concerts for a living. I go in heavily protected all the time. Even when I do... the actual concert mix, I may take off my earbuds for like a song or two, but it's usually first or second song in the set. After that, they go back on and I actually reference like, okay, this is what I liked in the venue. This is what it sounds like in my in-ears. Yeah. This is my basis point from now on. But you have to protect your hearing. But the reality is I do have tinnitus. And I know a lot of engineers will not admit to that. But Nobody has ever commented on my mixes and said, it sounds like you have damaged ears. No, they've always said, yo, this sounds amazing. This sounds better than my
always?
Other engineer.
No, just kidding.
Not always. No, I've gotten messages where it's like, hey, did your dog mix this? Like, what's going on?
Did your dog mix this?
No, I mean, obviously, whoa, that's a little extreme. I never got that one. But yeah, like, hearing is different.
Yeah, well,
person to person.
I don't want to go on that tangent right now, but we should talk about that on a different episode.
Yeah, but because of that, like, different monitors for different people is actually a normal thing. Like, I like the ATCs more than I like the PMCs as much, just because I like the way they're so prominent in the low mids. That's the range I'm always wanting to dive into.
Yeah.
And because of that, as a personality style choice, I guess you can say ATCs won me over, while some people just don't like ATCs. It's just a thing.
Yeah. And so I think that if you've been thinking about it, if you've been on the fence about it, and I know many people that are listening right now have been trying it and are like, DK, Lou, what the fuck? This is something that we've known for a while. Why are you so late to the game on this? You know?
Yeah.
And there's some people right now going like, how could you? Blasphemous.
I mean, I'll say this. I know there's a lot of people like me who use like HD systems who want to use it. So, you know, there is a standalone version of it too. So you don't just have to use it in like a plug-in sense like you used to. I know like in the early versions, it was plug-in only.
Yeah.
Now it's standalone and that's really cool.
Oh, yeah. So like if your native systems, this works best for native systems. And not all interfaces can do this, but... if you use SonarWorks, it does two things. You can either use it as a plugin to put on your master bus, so then you disable it. You disable it when you print it or you bounce it. But the way that I use it on my native system at home is it creates a new audio driver.
Mm-hmm.
So the playback engine on Pro Tools, you just switch that to Sound ID reference or whatever the hell it's called. And it'll play back. It's just the DDA. So it's literally just like putting an EQ between the interface and your speakers.
Yep.
It's so you can print it and have crazy filters on it, and it won't actually change the sound of the bounce or the print.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, and that's how I use it. And it's been, we just keep going on about how crazy it is. So on that note, we should talk real briefly, talk about some sponsors. First sponsor is you. Thank you so much for listening to the show.
The listeners,
we appreciate you and allowing us, supporting us in our incoherent rambling and
and my weird comments.
There you go, all of our weird comments. If you want to be on the Discord, please join the Discord. It's a lot of fun. We do live streaming. We announce the live streaming that happens every Monday night. I do a lot of live feedback for free on Monday nights. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com to learn all about that. And thank you to our sponsor, iZotope. We love iZotope. Yeah. We talk about iZotope because we love them so much. iZotope is a set of plugins. They have a lot of cool free ones too. Let's talk about the free ones this time. I was using Vinyl today.
Vinyl's actually kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had Vinyl now.
It's like Vinyl emulation.
You can say I've had it now like 5 years.
Yeah.
But they recently updated it.
The update's dope. Yeah. And they also have Imager, which I use almost every mix.
Yep.
The free one.
Throw that on a doubler.
Oh, yeah. It sounds really great. And anyway, if you go to iZotope.com/MMPodcast, you can get 10% off of your next purchase or get a month free of their monthly subscription bundles, which you get all of their plugins. And all of them include the iZotope Ozone Mastering Suite, the Nectar Vocal Production Suite, RX, which is vocal, what is that? Audio editing suite, editing bundle. It's got like denoise, depop, declick, dehum.
Pretty much, yeah.
The last one is, iZotope
There's production.
Neutron, which is the mixing toolkit, which is dope as well. I know that we've talked about using the transient designer on that one.
Yeah.
A lot of the frequency dependent transient designer is really cool actually on the Neutron set. So really cool, really dope. If you're even interested in doing that or want to check that out, once again, go to iZotope.com/MMPodcast to get 10% off or a free month out of it. And that goes into supporting the show. So we appreciate y'all. File Pass is a sponsor of the show, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, let's get back into this. we love Sonarworks, and we're not sponsored by them, but we're really grateful that I was just really struggling with getting my mixes to translate. I was just losing confidence.
You almost sold your speakers.
Yeah, and I think I haven't decided yet. I got to try the Sonarworks a bit more. It does bum me out that I have to rely on Sonarworks still. There's a part of me that's like, oh, that's so unethical.
I mean, here's the good news. It's not unethical to look into room treatment and monitor calibration. It just feels weird that I guess you have to go with a software-based one. Maybe that's the little gimmick that we have to get over.
Yeah. I'm not going to get a turn-off system, though. I'm not trying about to spend like $6,000.
I mean, I'll be honest. That sounds like something I would do, which would make sense with today's episode name, which is Gear Lust Lou.
Was that this episode?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. Last episode was Lou.
It's Gear Space Lou.
No. Gear Lust Lou is correct. It wasn't Gear Slut Lou, but that also is correct.
Oh, right.
I'm just saying, guys, I know you guys went with, like, you know, rebranding, and
all right, I appreciate it,
but, you know, nobody's going to forget that.
I think people will over time. Give it a decade. Anyway, on that note, we're really glad that you listen. Thank you so much for listening. Leave a 5-star review if you're listening on Apple, and if you're an intern for us, you better leave a 5-star review or we're not going to let you in the rooms anymore.
You can sneak in with me.
I'm teasing.
But I will still request one.
And if you have any questions, feel free to DM us on Instagram, to email us, whatever it is, go on Discord. We're always looking for new interns and whatnot. I'm just trying to plug everything. I keep forgetting to plug our stuff. So,
I mean,
we have free stuff. We have
a lot
of free stuff.
Actually,
I just released a PDF.
I have mic shootouts people can listen to.
Yeah, we have, PDF.
We're going to do soon we'll do a shootout with the new Golden Age.
Yeah.
I mean, Warm Audio, the WA-800G or 8000, whatever.
There's bunch of free stuff, and including we just uploaded a marketing for artists, tips for marketing for artists PDF that's actually quite useful.
Yeah.
I have marketing background, and so
I don't.
This is going to be something that's pretty useful for just basic stuff that's really going to put your mind in the right place if you're an artist or producer trying to market your stuff. So on that note, please check it out, mixingmusicpodcast.com, or go to links.dkmixes.com or mixingmusicpodcast.com/links. All of those apply. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. And if you're on YouTube, please subscribe. Please like all the jazz. All right. Happy mixing, my friends. And stay saucy.
1, 2, 3.
There are so many amazing free plugins available for download right now to help you with your production and mixing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/plugins to download and get access to a bunch of free and premium plugins on Plugin Boutique. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today, we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.